It is March 26, 5:16 p.m. We are starting the meeting for joint CCNSO/GNSO council meeting. This is the Sophia Room.
Hi everyone, GNSO councillors and others in the room. Just to note that I hear the CCNSO is running a little late. John Berard, who is our liaison to the CCNSO, is just going to check on progress and see where we are right now. Thanks. Guys, we have about around 5 minutes and they'll join us. Probably just about on a half hour, we'll be joined by our CCNSO colleagues.
Okay, Mikey, thanks for kicking it off on a positive note. Okay, welcome everybody to the joint GNSO-CCNSO council meeting at 5:30 on Wednesday afternoon. It is only Wednesday, but as John points out, it's 6 days into Wednesday this week. So welcome, and pardon me if my voice is failing a little bit. We have certainly worked to try to create topics of interest and opportunities for discussion on areas that that we share. The idea is to provide a little bit of an update on some of the common work that we've done, and my sense is we're going to be able to talk about coming to conclusion on some of the good stuff, on some of the good work that we've been doing, as well as talk a little bit about the potential for further cross-community work between our organizations. And of course, the hot topic of the week around the NTIA transition will also be a topic for further discussion and sharing just perspectives on it. And certainly in our SO, we have spent considerable time over the past couple days wrestling with the topic, having discussions, and trying to work through how we are going to approach it. So look forward to also your feedback and getting a better understanding of how the GNSO is viewing this issue.
Thanks, Byron. Welcome, everyone. I think we had, just to update you, I mean, I guess we can come to this when we come to the agenda item, but we had a substantial discussion on this NTIA transition issue and how we might do it at the council level. As you know, the GNSO breaks down into constituent parts, and so it's useful, I think, for you and us to hear, to the extent that the groups have had the opportunity to discuss things, to hear how the different groups within the GNSO have been viewing this. But we also had a good discussion at the council level, and I think it gave me enough to be able to present something at the public forum tomorrow. So welcome, everyone. Look forward to working through the agenda with you now.
So I think the first thing that we're going to go over is some of the joint working group activity, and in particular the closure of the JIG and some of the recommended actions. We had a resolution doing exactly that, so that has come to conclusion in our SO. But to put some further color and detail on it, Young Um is going to look surprised. Was there any further color or detail you wanted to add? You'd made a few comments to us as we adopted the resolution, and I thought perhaps those might also just be worth mentioning here.
Is Edmund here? Well, I think I'd rather let Edmund talk about this group.
Okay. Is Edmund here, though?
I thought he was. Well, if he's not here, I'm happy to talk about it. The JIG working group discussed three separate topics, very closely related with the IDNs, but in a way, in terms of the people that were interested in those topics, there was a diverse group of people actually interested in those separate topics. And although we were able to come to a conclusion about, or were able to produce a results document on it, we felt that as the current group was formed, the way in the current group was formed would not enable us to move a lot further ahead. And so that was why it was decided that we close this working group. It does not mean that the work on IDNs is going to be closed. It will continue in their various topical areas, and we thought that was the better way to go. Thank you.
Thanks, Xiong'an. And I can confirm for the record that we passed this particular motion unanimously, in fact. So we are in line with you at this point.
Are there any questions or comments on that subject? The next piece of business that we actually passed resolution on was around the update, or sorry, was around the framework on CCWG, or cross-community working group, and some of the principles there, and I believe that we have an update from Becky and John on that front. Becky or John?
The CCNSO Council has passed the resolution adopting the charter, and so John and I will endeavor to round up some volunteers to participate in this, and after my brief service on the cross-community working group on internet governance, I have a new appreciation of why this would be a good thing to do.
This is John Burrard. I sat in for the first time on that meeting today. Youngham, you were there, and Keith was there helping the group understand the difference between the CCNSO and the GNSO, which I think is something that we should strive to continue to do. But it was pretty clear that, as Olivier said, that methodology for cross-community working groups is mandatory. The fact that they, as I said in the GNSO Council meeting, they did not have the benefit of the rail, and so it was difficult for them to get as far in the journey as they would have liked. And so what we will try to do is lead a merry band to create that methodology for cross-community working groups. I guess if we're successful, we can, you know, look forward to having statues built in our honor, Becky.
Yeah, I'll build a statue of you, and you can build a statue of me. That's likely what's going to happen.
Just a brief remark that it does highlight A, as you've both done, the importance of having the methodology, but B, given the sort of issues that we're facing, the importance of having the capacity or the capability to handle these cross-community issues, including the elephant in the room of the transition of the IANA contract, you know, and that's going to test all of us in our ability to work effectively together as a community, and to the extent that we have rules of engagement or even draft rules of engagement to manage that, the better it is.
I actually think in the course of drafting the charter, which seems like it should be a pretty simple thing, and it was quick. I mean, we did it pretty quickly. There were highlights about the differences in the way the two groups work. And so just getting more acquainted with those differences will be helpful as well.
And if I can just add one last point, even as we were passing a motion to create a working group to devise a methodology for cross-community working groups, we also passed a motion to participate in cross-community working group on territory and country names. So it's pretty clear that we got to get on with this, or we'll be overwhelmed by it.
Becky, did you have a further comment?
I just wondered if there was going to be a time where we actually could talk about the cross-community working group on internet governance. I don't know if this is the time, but it's not really on our agenda, but it is.
Okay. Yeah, it actually is. We will be coming to it because we have a topic on the subject writ large, which it's one of the elements of it. But in terms of the topic of cross-community working groups, we have, as just noted, adopted a resolution on country and territory names. So, of course, we'll be rounding up people to participate in that as well. And Paul Schindler, who led our study group on this topic, is rolling into his co-chair role in this. So he's actually got considerable background in this subject area. But that probably does bring us to, you know, we also thought there was an opportunity just for a broader discussion, a bit of an unstructured discussion on, you know, sort of the management of cross-community working groups. And while defining charter and processes will be part of it, was there just any conversation or thoughts or ideas in terms of management of it, any issues that people wanted to flag or bring to the attention of both groups? Mikey?
This is Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. The sort of reference point for me on cross-community working groups is the DSSA, which was a pretty successful working group, except for the very end. It wasn't their fault. But one of the things that really held that working group together was its charter. And so I just want to sort of pile on to the yes, please, charter thing, because it helped us out at several stages along the way. We had a place to refer back to and get very specific reminders of what all the organizations that collaboratively chartered that thing had in mind. And so if we ever got a little bit stuck, we used that. And I just can't stress enough how important that exercise is. That's all.
Maybe we can just pick up on that a little bit and unpack it. Yeah, it was, as you say, until the final moments, a very successful cross-community working group. Charter, clearly a critical element. What else made it, in your words, such a successful one? And if we look at what are some of the elements in your mind that we could transpose to try to find success in other ones, other than the charter?
Well, we had a fabulous set of co-chairs. It was Olivier and me and Mark Costers and Cheryl. No, Olivier was trying to remember who came from. Oh, and York Schweiger. Pardon me? And Jim Galvin, right, from the ESSEC. So we had a pretty deep leadership group. We had a separate mailing list for the leader group that where we did all of the kind of operational stuff. So we kept all that separated from the main conversation. We had to build our methodology while the plane was in the air. That was a bit of a problem. But we did that. We had fabulous staff support, also spanning the organization. So we had Bart from the CCs, and we had, you know, folks. But essentially, we had a staff support person from each of the ACs and SOs, which helped a lot with the translation of the differences in the work project processes. Because, you know, we would drive along, and then somebody would say, "Wait, it's not a terrible problem, but that's not the way we do it over here." And it was nice to have sort of a neutral conversation about that rather than sort of colliding with stuff and having people kind of get uncomfortable. We had sort of the basics of project management pretty well under control. We had, you know, all the usual stuff, status reports every week, work plan, blah, 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 much of which flowed out of the charter, but we then created all that. So, you know, there's sort of a long list. I won't go on and on, but, you know, if you're interested in sort of details on that, I could probably document that at some point.
Thank you. I think it's probably not the space to go drill down too much further, but I think that's exactly the kind of insight that needs to be brought to the group examining it. Because if you have all of those factors for success previously, you know, what can we do to try to drag, pull those through future ones? Avery, and then John?
Thanks, Avery speaking. The cross-community working group, I think one of its issues is something that most of us have run into when we've tried to pull projects together, which is there's a project that really needs to be done in a hurry. And so if we don't do planning, we can get the project done quicker. And you know, so we went into it, and I was one of the ones that originally worked on helping to create the charter that never got approved. And it was, oh, we don't have time to waste on this. And so I definitely plan to participate in your cross-community, your meta cross-community working group. I've had trouble with the duplication. I like the meta word. But anyway, I intend to participate, but I think that that was, you know, one of the basic failures that you see in project management, and a working group has to be thought of, in a sense, as a project. And you have to sort of determine what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And since we couldn't solve, and in fact, needing a charter completed could actually be a forcing function to get to the work quickly. If sort of you say you don't start the work until you finish the charter because you haven't been blessed by your chartering organizations. And that becomes a forcing function to get over the silliness of, you know, the charter negotiations. So I'm definitely looking forward to getting this, because there have been a lot of successful groups that we can pull stuff from.
Thank you, John.
When the drafting team was putting together the charter for what is now a meta cross-community working group, we fixed on the notion of specific membership requirements, which is a little different than most working groups. And I was just curious, Mikey, did you have that kind of scheme?
We did indeed. In fact, the DSSA, it was quite prescriptive on the number, and it was precisely the same number of participants from each of the ACs and SOs. You know, and that was one of the things. There was a whole lot of texture in that charter that, looking back, it was almost like, you know, a constitutional sort of document, and you go, wow, are those people ever smart? Who would have thought of that? And it really helped us a lot.
Thank you. Any further insights or comments? Mikey?
I'm going to jump in.
One thing, it's the name. I can't get over the name. The Cross-Community Working Group to develop a framework of operating principles for future cross-community working groups. I think you need a marketer in the mix there to help out with that.
We've got some others that are kind of like that too. I mentioned that it didn't turn out well in the end, and so I think that one of the things that we need to also do from working groups like the DSSA is learn from the failures. And in this particular case, we didn't have the air cover we needed to finish the work. And so what happened is that we had strong air cover from, or I'm sorry, I'm using jargon, strong support from the chartering organizations, but we didn't have protection from the board. And the board took an action that ultimately destroyed that working group. And so one of the things that needs to happen in the chartering process is making sure that the organization actually has the protection it needs, the working group has the protection it needs to finish its work. And in many cases, I think we miss that. So that's a negative lesson to be learned.
Thank you. With that, unless there are other comments, perhaps we could move on to sharing of views on the IANA transfer, the process.
A couple of opening remarks then, Byron. I mean, and you may wish to do the same thing. I mean, I suppose my little very potted history of the week is, of course, we all came into this somewhat, I guess, ambushed, surprised, given this. We all know what running up to an ICANN meeting is, right? There's a deluge of information, material to digest, preparation to do, frankly, I think this meeting was an unusually busy one without the overlay of the IANA transition on top of it. So there we were in that state, and then we sort of had that overlay on top of it. Traditionally, the so-called SO and AC leadership have an opportunity to meet with the senior ICANN staff ahead of a meeting, share some views, highlight what issues might be on the table. We had somewhat of an opportunity to do that, although it was a little compressed this time. And then, of course, we went into the weekend proceedings, which themselves already had a fairly full agenda. And the critical point as far as the GNSO is concerned is all of that preempts the Tuesday constituency and stakeholder group day when we can divide up into our constituent parts and think about things and start to process them and understand how those views are held before then even thinking about synthesizing them. But as I said a few moments ago, we did have the opportunity to have a pretty thorough discussion at the council level about what, I think the level is probably the wrong word. In the council, we had an opportunity to have a pretty substantial discussion, and some key themes emerged, no doubt, including the fact that we believe we have methodologies to potentially tackle this problem, as we've been discussing in and around cross-community working groups, and I suspect many of us have. I think one of the overarching challenges is clearly the synthesis of those methodologies and whether we try and percolate up through our different groups and then synthesize at the top, or try and start with a synthesized origin and then work. And these, I mean, there's clearly some challenges. And then, of course, the other tension about how much we are led into this, or how much we lead with a sort of bottom-up community-led process. So those are some slightly unstructured opening remarks, but you know, in the context of us all running to catch up, I think, a little. Barry?
Thank you. Well, we certainly echo the notion of running to catch up. Obviously, like you, we come into these meetings with an agenda set and a particular vision of how things are going to unfold. And shortly before that, much of it got thrown out the window in terms of the agenda and the anticipated discussions. Fortunately, in the CC community, issues of internet governance are of significant interest to us to begin with because of the inherently sovereign nature of the operations that we run, so all things internet governance tend to get a fair amount of attention. And as such, we did have several sessions in our agenda dedicated to various elements of internet governance, which we then hijacked and reformulated to focus on the real issues at hand. I would sort of echo many of the comments that Jonathan made in terms of how it's impacted us. However, we probably don't have as well-defined structures as you, in that given different constituent parts of the GNSO, they have to be very, very well articulated. And on that front, while CCs are often very different in operations, in governance, in how we're constituted, we do tend to tackle many of the same problems, and as such have a relatively straightforward way of addressing them through working groups. That gave us the opportunity to not focus so much on the process of how we're going to think about it, but really start to think about what are we thinking about it. And as fate would have it, every 2 to 3 years we have a council, for lack of a better term, strategic planning session on the Sunday. It's 4 hours, and we think about what are the next 24 to 34, 36 months hold for us? What are the big topics we're going to be wrestling with? And we try to block it out a little bit and manage the flow over time. Unsurprisingly, this issue became the dominant issue in terms of how we thought about what we're going to be looking at over the course of the next couple of years. We then had the opportunity to really start to pick it apart in the sessions that we had over the course of the last 2 days. which were kicked off actually with Fiona and Larry from NTIA coming and addressing us directly first thing Tuesday morning, which was very helpful for us to get it, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And we had, you know, pretty frank and productive discussion. I mean, if you've listened to Larry, as I'm sure we all have, he's very candid and forthright and, you know, calls it like a Chicago guy kind of thing. So it was a good discussion, but it made it very apparent that, you know, the way the statement came out, which was very IANA functions focused, although as you start to parse and dissect the words, you see more and more into it, or at least you start to read more and more into it, and we have to be careful about that difference. But, you know, they talked very much about IANA functions are there, but of course that inevitably leads to oversight and accountability mechanisms, which inevitably leads to the AOC and even the root zone maintainer function being possibly open for discussion. So all of those elements started to lead us to how are we going to start to think about what really is the problem? What is the question really we are being asked to solve and to really start to parse those? And as we started thinking about that, we also had a panel of broad experts, including the chair of the IETF, Pat Kane from VeriSign. We had Milton Mueller in there as well. So we had as well as some others, but a pretty robust panel. And what was the reason I raised it is what was remarkable is the lack of alignment on exactly what is being asked, even within that group of very well-informed actors. So we literally just almost just came out of our final session on the subject where we tried to articulate what is the set of questions we're being asked, what is exactly the role that NTIA plays, and when they pull out, what gaps are they leaving that either need to be filled or need to be decided to not be filled. You know, I think out of that we're going to have a draft communication that we'll speak to in the public session that really tries to articulate what is the problem statement exactly that we're trying to solve for. So it's been a key focus of our attention, especially given the nature of what we do for our day-to-day jobs, and look forward to hopefully being able to provide some value back to the community about sharpening the focus of what this is about.
I guess this, from my point of view, and others may have a different view of this, there's a couple of things I'd certainly like us to be thinking about. It would be great as soon as you're in a position to share your scope of problem issue with us, because I suspect you're a little ahead of us, so that would be great. What I'd love to hear about is thoughts about how we might work together on this, other than that. And one issue that certainly came through in the council meeting and is an issue on my mind is timing, because at the moment in the ICANN facilitated process, the email opportunities to comment by email close tomorrow, as became clear in our discussion at the council meeting, and that gets synthesized then in some way, those comments, between tomorrow and early April, at which point they get published for some form of public comment. So, you know, the train is in that sense leaving the station, and whilst we need to recognize the need for speed, we also need to make sure it doesn't leave without us. So how do we, you know, so those are some thoughts, timing and how do we work together, and what do we actually do, if anything, from, you know, from this joint meeting.
Becky?
So I think there's a kind of fundamental issue here. It felt a lot like we came in here and were being driven to a particular outcome. And I think, you know, having to have a comment period about sort of what being asked to talk about process, having a very short fuse on the initial comment period, having a draft statement come out very quickly, to us it seems like the first step really ought to be understanding what the basket of things that are being transitioned are, that that is part of the process and that we ought to take the time to take that step in the process. In terms of working together, I mean, I think even if you, I mean, I, even if people can't get in substantive comments by tomorrow, just a comment about the notion that process begins with defining what it is we're looking at, that that is not slowing down or reversing reversing gears or anything like that. That is an important first step, and it's going to save us time down the road. I just feel that we need to be, we kind of really need to work hard to grab this thing and get them to understand how important making this a truly bottom-up, we're not being herded in a particular direction process it is.
Mikey?
So let me just build on what Becky just said. Chartering is sort of an old and well-known thing. The pieces of it have different names, but clearly the first thing to figure out is what's the puzzle that this thing's going to solve, or what's the problem statement. So this is exactly the right first thing to do. But sometimes the problem statement gets too hard, and you get stuck. And so one way to get past being stuck when writing a charter is to run up and down the rest of the questions a few times, because as you answer some of the other questions, that sometimes gives insights that help you go back to the puzzle question and say, oh, well, now that I've been in this other place for a little while, I've figured out some things that make it easier to solve the puzzle question. And so when I was at the mic yesterday, or whatever day, God, whatever that first day was, the joke in the last meeting was, how much coffee have you had today? And I think I haven't had enough. But some of the other questions are, you know, who has a stake in the outcome and how should they be represented? You know, what's the scope? What's inside and what's outside? What's the goal? What's the approach? You know, what are the steps that have to happen first and next and so on? What are the deliverables? Who's the leader? And then a few that are more interesting to me is, are we ready? And it's not a big deal if we're not ready. It's the question, well, what do we need to do to get ready? And can we get those things done within the time that's allowed? Resources, people, experts, all that kind of stuff. Now, I've never been in a situation like, you know, when I write charters, I'm usually sitting at my desk with a client. This is back when I worked for a living. You know, I'd go talk to the client. They'd tell me a bunch of stuff. I'd go home. I'd write this thing down. I'd take it back to them and say, what do you think of this? And they'd say, that's stupid, and we'd fix it. In this circumstance is weird because we sort of threw all the cards up in the air, and I think that one thing to do is just declare that we are the chartering group that's going to take the lead on the first draft and make it clear that we're very open to changing it. But we know how to do this. We do it routinely. So we're just going to write a draft. And, you know, it's sort of like chicken and egg. Well, you declare it's a chicken and then go. Because otherwise, you know, with the number of moving parts in this thing, we'll sit there looking at all the moving parts and the train will depart. And I think, you know, like Becky, that would be bad. So I would lobby that we just write a charter.
When you say we, who do you mean, Mikey?
I don't know. This is a good group. People who are into charters in this group, you know, CCNSO, GNSO, anybody else, you know, not a huge group, but a gaggle of charter wonks that like to work on that kind of stuff, you know?
So concrete suggestion is to form a gaggle of charter wonks.
Yeah.
That
there's a whole new...
Comprised of members of the CCNSO and the
My colleague Osvaldo is keeping me honest here. I've just spoken and I've used a whole lot of words that Osvaldo does not know. So let me turn that back into English, which is form a group of people, a small group, not 20, but I don't know how many is right. Don't obsess about it. If somebody really wants to be in the group, by all means, let them be in. But a group of people, go off, draft a charter. That's how the DSSA charter got done. It was a group of really motivated folks. It was Chuck and Cheryl and, you know, the usual. And they just went off and wrote one. And I think that's what we need to do.
Any other comments or suggestions following on from that? What about this issue of timing as well? This, if in the sort of ICANN staff or facilitated process, the closing of the email list and the requirement to produce something in a certain timescale by early April.
I don't know how much we can hang all of that on ICANN. I mean, the meeting is going to take place in Sao Paulo on a date certain. I mean, things have to be prepared in advance, and thoughts need to be organized. And I thought that the cross-community working group on internet governance did a pretty good job based upon what I read and then what I heard and saw at the one meeting I attended as an observer. I was curious, though, whether or not the CCNSO got the same sales pitch that the GNSO got about the separation of consideration of the factors related to an IANA transition and ICANN accountability. I think I recall over these last 5 or 6 days being told forcefully that they are separate matters, yet they don't feel separate to me, and I don't think to some others. And I was just curious as to how that played out with you guys.
Well, I'm sure my colleagues have their own takes on this, but my sense is last week they were relatively church and state. They were two parallel lines that were not going to intersect. And I think the feedback was pretty strong that that simply is not the case. It's particularly strong, I would argue, in our community because the IANA functions include delegation and redelegation where the policy is not as crisp as it could and should and needs to be over time. And the ICANN board has a history of making some intransparent decisions that are questionable around those issues in particular. So while the IANA function to many is a technical or clerical job, to us it most definitely is not. It is absolutely critical. And in order to have that inside IANA, demands an accountability mechanism in some way, shape, or form, which in today's environment is the AOC and the NTIA sitting there. Can, you know, walk softly, but carries a very big stick. And when you pull that out, what are you left with to ensure that we have confidence and trust that issues such as delegation and redelegation will be handled appropriately and there is some redress available, et cetera. So those issues to us, in a sense, can't be unpacked as separate. They have to be together in some way. So in the initial dialogue saying they were separate, it was just this IANA function that was up for transition process. That never really resonated with our community, I don't think. But over the course of the last few days, we've seen them come together and acknowledge that more and more they have to be considered together. I think that's where we are. Becky may disagree, but I think it's a moving discussion right now.
So yesterday, I felt like they were hearing us. The CC was saying, no, the the functions, the role that it played includes oversight on policy and accountability. Today, I felt a little bit like they were more going back to the, you know, these things are separate and we have to, not that they're not related, but if we get too focused on the accountability stuff, we may miss the deadline on the transition stuff. And I think there's a, you know, they're sort of suggesting that obviously both of these things have to be considered, but they'll, and they come together at some point, but it's not clear where that point is. I think our preference is to use this as a moment to resolve those issues collectively, and I don't see why it can't be done in the time period that we have. But it's clear that there is among the board members there is some reluctance to get sort of to tie these together too tightly, lest the accountability issues create roadblocks for the transition, which is sort of something swallowing its tail.
Okay.
Thanks. I'm Thomas Rickert, and I wanted to ask you a practical question, which we also discussed in the GNSO Council earlier today, and that is how we envisage this project, a term that was used earlier by Avery, how we get that pulled off in time. Because the clock is running, so we have 18 months, which sounds a lot, but it's going to be over pretty soon already. And I'm of the opinion that we need to ask ICANN to set aside resources in terms of staff, but maybe also an able project manager who Mikey would prefer to call project administrator to illustrate that this person should not take over the mission, if you wish, or content, but just to provide a solid approach to things, you know, and ensure that the community delivers its own approach in a timely fashion.
Thank you. Brett Fawcett from the registry constituency of the GNSO. I think we want to be careful not to let this thing move too fast so that we leave the accountability mechanisms behind. I clearly heard Larry Strickling say that there was not an 18-month clock here, that if it took 2 years, if it took 2.5 years, that we would work that out, that there would be an extension of the arrangement. And so I don't think we should let ICANN... I know that the goal is to get this done in 18 months before the current agreement expires, but I don't think we should let that be the primary driver. The primary driver ought to be doing the right thing and making sure that all of our needs are met.
Well, I think that's fair, but I think it's important to remember that there are two timescales here, and ICANN does not control the outcome of everything. And there is some risk that in an attempt to be deliberate, the rest of the world moves on. And to put it more existentially, one ought to ask the question, if one were to look back in 5 years, will ICANN exist? And if so, will it exist in its current form? And I think that's the real debate that's lurking behind a lot of these issues. And it's important, I think, to put that on the table as one thinks about the balance of process and accountability and time scale, because there are other constituencies outside those in Singapore talking about those issues.
Thank you. Becky, did you have your hand up?
Larry clearly did say there's no deadline. I think that there's a political deadline, which is we can't get too far into the U.S. elections, but that certainly goes past September of 2015. I've heard the world is going to move by, and if we're deliberate, they're going to say that's we're not making enough progress. That's why we should go to a, a multilateral thing. I think that's just being used to hype us. I don't believe that's the case.
Well, Becky, can I pin you down a little bit on that then? If September 30th is not the date, and we've heard both Larry and Fadi say that, but we do bang up against U.S. election mania, how far can we go before we need to get concerned, especially for those of us who are not Americans and maybe don't have quite the sensitivity to that? If September 30th we don't have to worry about, where is it? Is it January 30th? Like, when do we get into that Washington insider game where nothing happens anymore?
Well, I mean, we're already seeing a little bit of the, testing the water on this for the midterm election, and presumably that will die down and people will get interested in other things because this is too complicated. And maybe if we're lucky, it's way too complicated to ever be a successful issue. I mean, certainly January of 2016 and and probably farther than that, it's a really hard issue for sound bites, but you certainly wouldn't want it, you certainly would not want it to get so close that it was like a last minute issue, and you certainly don't want it to go beyond the election because we have no idea who will be in running the country after that.
So, I heard a couple of things in and around the timescale issue, but I certainly heard from Fadi last night that in a smaller forum that he felt that the election was a pressure point, and so notwithstanding the notional lack of pressure, I mean, I think the political reality is that we should treat it as a pretty serious target, and not go soft on that target. That's to the best of my ability. That's the impression. But my American colleagues may have a different view. John,
we could start a pool. Who will rotate out of the Department of Commerce first, the IANA or Strickling?
I think even if we move on the 18-month deadline, and I think we should try to do that, I think we should move deliberately and quickly and try to hit that deadline. A comment period that closes tomorrow just feels rushed. So I think we can do it on a more deliberate pace than what we've got.
Mikey? Sorry, standing in plain sight. My mistake.
Greg Shatton from the IPC. I just wanted to point out very briefly that the Empire State Building was built in less than 18 months. I think that the point of that is that where there's a will, there's a way. Obviously, things can't be rushed, and tomorrow's a deadline that comes up so quickly is disturbing. But nonetheless, overall, I think the emphasis really needs to be on trying to stick to the plan rather than try to move the plan to stick to us. So I think if the Empire State Building can be built in 18 months, the NTIA transition can be planned out in 18 months. Thank you.
And it was built bottom up.
It was definitely built bottom up. That's Good one. Becky, can you top that?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out they had a project plan for the Empire State Building.
Okay, I think we beat this one to death. Mikey?
One of the things I was wondering is, do we know, is the deadline on the comment period in order to get the comments in time for the public session on Friday? Is that why? I was wondering if maybe this is just a rough cut. Give us your first reactions so we can summarize it, so it's a more casual event. So if there's somebody who kind of knows about the intent behind that, that would be helpful. Because to actually produce a charter in 24 hours is kind of tough. But
Avery?
My belief is that they wanted to get the first take on what things are so that coming out of this meeting they have something to work on, as opposed to, we all know that we won't do anything for a week after we leave this meeting. And so basically it was to get something on the table so that they can start moving. They've also made it quite clear that this is not the last chance to contribute to what the process is going to look like, you know. So I don't believe it is the last chance. I think the idea of trying to give them a finished charter is oh God, the word that comes to my mind is quaint. In that, first of all, this is supposed to be a process that is indeed wider than us. And I apologize. It was just the first word that came to my mind. And since we're both in the GNSO and I wasn't insulting a person in the CCNSO, I felt more comfortable. I understand. I don't think the American elections are as much of a deadline as people are making. I think that Larry has a goal he wants to achieve in his time, and this is something that can get done, and we can work on it. But I think we do have to realize that we are doing it in a wider context. And it's not that we need to be afraid that the ITU is going to eat our lunch, or that whole, you know, the whole boogeyman story that everybody goes around with. If it looks like there's serious work going on and people are working on it, I think that's good. So I do believe that they're going to take whatever suggestions are there tomorrow, so we probably could have put in all kinds of suggestions in the time we've spent talking about whether we could put in suggestions. And I think that we should just contribute the ideas that we've got in our minds between now and midnight tomorrow, get comments in there, get the notion of building a charter, get the notion of getting the SOs that know how to do stuff, get the idea of having multiple projects, of building a project plan, of not having five people fall off the top of the Empire State Building, and just get those things in there. But it really just looks like, as somebody was saying, a doable task. I don't think we need to worry about the American elections. In fact, it's kind of interesting. The Americans are always in our election frenzy. As soon as one election is over, they start talking about the next one, or we start talking. Well, no, they're doing it on TV. I don't talk about it that much. But it's always in election mode. So, and worrying about what the next administration might be is just, it's just nuts. I'm sorry.
So it's an all-nighter. We buy a lot of Coca-Cola and pizza. We get the mind map fired up, and we write something. They got lots of projectors here. We could do it right here in this room. Do it all on room service.
Have you seen the price of a room service burger here?
They got a convenience store downstairs. Heck, you know, if we could find a microwave, we're set.
So, I mean, Byron and I were just having a word, and notwithstanding Mikey's incredible enthusiasm to spend an all-nighter here, I think we're probably at the point of collective and individual exhaustion, or at least a point where it might be hard to make further progress. I'm one of those people who Mikey's given me a hard time about before, who loves to pull things together and sort of try and synthesize an outcome. But even I recognize that's probably a little premature here. I think we've shared some good ideas, and it's, you know, I mean, certainly I sense some very strong themes of common thought on charters, defining problems, not going too fast, not going too slowly. You know, can start to pull on some of those threads, but whether that's enough to take any concrete action, I don't think so at this stage. But so that's where I feel we're at. and I can see in line of sight something that's definitely not a feeling, it's a reality of a drinks table. So there you have it.
Thank you. We do have, I think, just one final comment on the role of CCWG on IG, that I think Becky was going to just make a comment on that front.
Yeah. The perception that we had about the purpose for this working group was that it was essentially internal facing to sort of identify what role ICANN should be playing in these various fora. We're concerned about the absence of a charter and then the sort of let's write input for Net Mondial, let's, you know, do something on now on Net Mondial on the IANA transition. In particular on this last issue, it's something that is so critical and fundamental to the CC organization that absent the opportunity to build consensus around that, we're very concerned that we can't participate in that. So we just want to express our concern about the need to, you know, take a moment to get a clear and shared understanding about what the purpose of this group is before we do more submissions, particularly on the transition issue.
Sounds like you need a charter wonk.
You could stay up all night on that one, Mikey.
I may just do it because, for me, the daytime and the nighttime in these buildings, my body's so confused, it's just waking up now. I may just go all night for the hell of it.
Becky, just for the record, I mean, there were similar concerns expressed about that lack of direction. I don't know that, I've certainly heard concerns personally. I don't recall if it was discussed in the council about the sort of scope creep, if you, for want of a better description, of that working group. And given that we don't know what the initial scope is, it's hard to say whether it's scope creep, but it's certainly scope creep relative to some of our perceptions of its role and purpose. So I think I certainly heard similar concerns about its effectiveness to operate without a charter. That I've got absolutely clear memory on, and as I say, I've certainly had corridor conversations, and it was quite possibly expressed in our meeting as well.
I just want to make sure that people understand, though, that we don't want to get in a situation where we would have to, you know, for example, formally withdraw from the group. But if there was a decision to move forward with a statement on the transition, that is something we would have to consider very carefully. Because we just have not had the opportunity to socialize this among our stakeholders for whom this is an absolutely critical issue. You're right, I don't know what the original scope was. I only know what we thought the original scope was.
There was no original scope. I mean, that's the whole point of that thing. It was, it's a classic chartering nightmare.
Personally, I have a very clear memory of Fadi putting up the slide in Brazil at the meeting saying, it's over to you. We've set up the OneNet mailing list. Here we go. Former cross-community working group. And then that seemed to morph into an announcement that some had come together and formed the cross-community working group, which I think others joined in. But the lack of a charter clearly seems to concern many of us. I mean, I'll go out on a limb here, and it feels to me like what I sense is that there's a need to have a clean start. And so perhaps we should be thinking, at least in our individual capacity, if not more than that, I don't want to run too far ahead here, but of trying to emphasize that to deal with matters of the IANA transition, a clean start is required for more than one reason, but at the very least, in order to ensure it's properly chartered.
I'm still new to the GNSO, and so learning these things, but I would have thought that the IANA transition was not part of this cross-constituency working group on internet governance, and if we were going to do something together, we would do it under the umbrella of a new working group.
I mean, I think that's probably fair. When it came about, the transition wasn't part of the discussion. Absolutely. I'm not sure where that leaves us as a collective, though. I mean, we have this unchartered entity that came about prior to the NTIA announcement, and now we find ourselves in this predicament. And I just want to, you know, reinforce Becky's comment that, you know, within our community, concerns have been raised to the point that, depending how far the current iteration goes, we just simply wouldn't be able to participate in it any longer.
I mean, this is not an uncommon project management puzzler. I'm sure that many of us have run into situations where we have a portfolio of projects that are running, and at some point they start to collide with each other, and you have to sort it out. But I'm with Brad. I think the thing that, for a whole lot of reasons, I mean, we can write it. I think we should take the lead in writing a charter simply because we are an organization that does that more often. But clearly the participation in this Clean Start thing isn't even limited to ICANN. I mean, there are a whole bunch of stakeholders that have to be wired into this somehow. And that group of stakeholders is much different than the group that's in the CCWG. So I think one way to manage that is to just treat them as parallel projects and then sort out the overlaps with refinement of scope and charter statements on both sides.
Not having been in it, not sat in it myself, for those who have, is there an opportunity to reconstitute it? Not that there's a charter to reconstitute per se, but are there any thoughts on that? I mean, if we were to, just thinking out loud, make a suggestion as to two of the SOs that a charter needs to be, a clear and crisp and credible charter needs to be formulated.
Byron, my suggestion is, I don't know whether, it feels to me like fresh start rather than repurpose. I mean, I think it's another kind of project management lesson, trying to, you know, actually, there's a new project, it's a new item that's come on the table, granted, within the scope of what that broad internet governance theme that the CCWG may have been looking at, although none of us are quite clear of the full scope of that, as we've said on numerous occasions, IANA transition must have been a topic of discussion. I'm sure others on the list will confirm that, but it was more in a hypothetical sense, as and when, whereas we've got a whole new universe now, because it's not as and when. US government has come to the table, committed to doing so. We're in a new world, and I think it's time to recognize that creates a new position that it's a question of how we get. It sounds like we could potentially get together as the CCNSO and the GNSO, and how do we bring in others into that and make sure that that's seen to be as inclusive as possible, not exclusive. But hey, that previous group was chartered by a couple of groups standing up and saying, well, we're taking the lead. Anyone want to join us? So we could go out on a limb. Avery.
Yeah, I was part of the origin mistake of that previous group. And one of the mistakes we made there was the level mismatch. It was ALAC and NCSG deciding, oh, Fadi said he wanted us to start a group. Sure, let's start a group. And so from that very first point where we had something at the SOAC level and something at the stakeholder group level making an agreement to do something together, from that very point, we were confused. Because then it was, oh, wait a second, then the rest of the GNSO said, what are you guys doing? And it just never meant, it's kind of like when you start buttoning your shirt one row off, and you never quite get it until you figure out you have to completely unbutton. It's that mismatch level as I've watched the thing. And I mean, and I was part of the mistake, and freely admit having been part of the mistake. It's, we were enthusiastic. We were having a joint NCSG ALAC meeting, which we often have, and we said, oh goody, let's do it. And but it just never was put together properly again after that.
So my question then is, how do we ensure that we, in this joint meeting, don't make the same mistake? How do we not become part of that? You know, I mean,
because we're at the same level of button and buttonhole.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's right up there with charter wonks, I think. I think the other thing that we can do differently is, in the process of chartering, we can do a better job of doing that. I mean, I was involved in the very early days of chartering the CCWG and ran screaming from the room because it was such a madhouse. And there was no air cover for the idea of stepping back and doing this properly. I think there's much more air cover in this body, where both of our organizations have chartered lots and lots of these things and know the need and value of reaching out and buttoning in the correct buttonhole.
My sense is we've maybe reached as far as we can get to right now. We have many councillors representing many of the groups within the GNSO. My thought is, go back to your groups, socialise this with them as soon as possible, what kind of support there is for what seems to be emerging as an idea, and let's see if we can't, and I would imagine that the CCNSO may well do something similar, but I'll leave Byron to talk to that. So it sounds to me like out into the groups, here's a thought that's come up in the joint GNSO-CCNSO meeting about chartering a cross-community working group. Is there support for that? And let's just get a sense of the level of support we get for that.
I think that makes sense. And unless my colleagues suggest otherwise, I think we'd want to take that back to at least to begin with our council and the folks who are actually on that working group, solicit some input with that as a potential direction.
Yeah, to avoid the problem that has arisen with a previous cross-community working group, it might also be worthwhile to include others outside the GNSO and the CCNSO. So perhaps this conversation should also be taken to the SOAC leaders list and invite other folks from the community to also start working on what input they would like to give in.
Very helpful point. And in a way, you remind me of some terminology we might want to think about there, because this could be a community, an appropriately or well-chartered community working group, not a CCNSO, GNSO working group or cross-community working group, but simply a cross-community working group with a sound charter to deal with the primary issue at hand.
Greg Chatton from the IPC, also a member of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance. I think a couple of people here were in the meeting of the group today, and there was extensive discussion of its future, and very decided I felt backing away from any kind of future public statement by the group. I don't think the group decided to disband itself. I also note kind of an interesting mismatch of maybe two different button and buttonhole groups, which is that group was primarily constituted of leaders, in other words, chairs and vice chairs and the like, rather than counselors of some of the same groups plus ACs. And so therefore, it's not quite the same group, although it's people at kind of interesting levels. So I think that before kind of, there should be some consultation with those who were in the group who at least thought that it would go forward in some fashion before deciding that it isn't going forward in some fashion. And perhaps to draw in, I guess, particularly, say, Patrick Falstrom, who, talked on this issue of where can we go with this and where can't we go with this. It just feels a little odd to have been in one room where we kind of discussed this and agreed we were going to go forward carefully, and then to be in another room where it's now being decided that that group isn't going forward, or you know, feels like it's not going forward. Just a thought. Thank you.
Yeah, and I didn't hear anybody say that we're deciding that that group's not going to go forward. I think the conversation that I heard here was more around that group is unchartered. It's potentially lost its way. It is doing things that have raised concerns in our community, significant concerns in our community. And is there an opportunity to reset given the materially changed landscape? And I would also say that, you know, as chairs, it's incumbent upon us to involve our colleagues on this. And absolutely, Patrick would be somebody that we'd want to speak to.
I would just respond that I think the group definitely needs a charter. It needs to find its way. It may mutate into this other properly chartered group, or it may be that there are two chartered groups, one that is on the concrete IANA transition, another that is on the somewhat more broad internet governance subject. And both should be properly chartered, and if there are two of them, even more importantly. So I think it's an excellent conversation to have. I didn't mean to make it sound like any fait accompli had just occurred, but rather that there are, you know, some tasks here, and I'm happy to help be a charter wonk if you need help.
Thank you. I think we are—we probably exhausted that conversation, at least for the time being. Now we can have it more informally over cocktails. Thank you very much, everybody, for what turned out to be a very fulsome conversation. Jonathan, did you want to wrap it up?
Well, nothing to add. I think that I echo what you just said. So let's call it a day and have a drink together and relax.